Lord's Day, that we can come out to your house and worship you, Lord, and praise you and let you know how we love you together as a church family. And Lord, we thank you that we can come and receive what we've received already. God, we pray that you would maximize these moments we have together, that you would speak to us, that God, you would get a hold of our hearts, Lord, and draw us to a closer walk with thee. Lord, we ask you to just take over in every area of our lives. God, we know when we do things our way and we don't do it your way, we know, God, life just does not work right. Things do not go like it should. And Lord, even when we do serve you, the devil will attack. But Lord, we know that we have a defender, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can stand to him. So Lord, bless us, we pray. Grant me as your servant unction, preaching grace, open the hearts and minds of everyone here to receive it. We just pray that you'll just get all in the middle of this service and do everything you want to do in us that you've been wanting to do for a long time. Lord, just do it in us today. Work in us, God. And then when we leave this place, I pray that God, you'd help us to do great and mighty things for your kingdom and to touch people all week long being used by you. We love you, praise you, and bless you. We ask you bless Jerusalem with peace. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Please remain standing for the reading of God's word. Turn, if you would, to a passage of scripture I used on Wednesday night, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and I want to read beginning at verse 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Now, if you told your girlfriend or wife that she had hair like a goat's hair, you'd probably get slapped. But that was a beautiful thing in that day to them. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing. At least she brushes her teeth. Whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David. I had to mention that Wednesday too. Can you imagine? It sounds like she's olive oil almost. I mean, got a big old long neck, but it says, thy neck is like the Tower of David. But he meant, you're strong. You're strong. You're a strong woman. Thy rock is like thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang thousands of bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roses that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. And listen to what he says. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. May God bless the reading of his word. If you would, take someone's hand. Let's pray together as family of God one more time here today. Father, please speak to us, touch us, and change us. We ask that God, you would just anoint thy word in a special way. We give you the glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. I just felt like we needed a second little word there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can somebody say praise the Lord this morning? You know, this passage of Scripture is real important. And I want you to get this because you don't want to miss the beginning. When you're reading a book, always read the beginning. Because you can read the end, but you won't get the meaning of it if you hadn't read the beginning. That's what I used to do in school. I'd read the beginning, the end, and then maybe catch some of the middle. And that's what I'd do sometimes to when I didn't have a lot of time to read. But I want you to see this is a picture. I know it's Solomon writing this to Shulamite, his wife. But the Lord lets us know that this is a book that speaks about something spiritual. It speaks about the love of the husband, Jesus Christ, for his bride, the church. We, the church of Jesus Christ, we are his bride. Jesus' bride. And I want you to see, first of all, how passionate Jesus is for the bride. You look at these words, I mean, all these descriptive words, and Solomon did not realize what he was writing, but he was writing under the inspiration of God to describe how Jesus feels about his church, his bride. He describes the visual beauty of his bride. Then he describes the audio beauty, that is the sound that is so beautiful of his bride's voice. Your speech is comely. That means beautiful. And then he describes not only her outer beauty, her voice that is beautiful, but then the inner beauty of his love. You see, Jesus is totally passionate about his bride. He's very passionate about his bride. He loves us with such a passion. But then secondly, not only does he have a passion for us, but his love is deeper than just what you see on the outside. His love goes so deep because Jesus' love for us is like none other. You know, the Bible says, peradventure for a good man would someone die, but Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible says, he used this words, he said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I want you to see how deep is the love of Jesus. It's so deep. And you can never get to the point that you get all of his love. I know there may be times in our lives when we feel like we have tested the love of Jesus. Maybe we've fallen short, and we all do that from time to time. Maybe there's some way we know we just really disappointed Jesus and we think, well, he's forgiven me now, but now that's the end of it. He won't, there's nothing left. It's all gone. No, you'll never get to that point. You'll never get to that point. You can never get to the point that you run out of Jesus' love. Amen. I'm glad to know that today. I don't know about you, but that makes my baby jump. That makes me feel good on the inside to know that Jesus loves me with an everlasting love. You know, there's not a lot of loves like that in the world today, is there? Everlasting. But he says, I've loved you from everlasting to everlasting. He loved us before the world began, and he'll love us way after the world is gone and done. It's from everlasting to everlasting. So Jesus' love is passionate for his bride. Now, you know, when you're passionate for your bride, sometimes you can be a little jealous, can't you? You can be a little jealous, can't you? Well, he's jealous over us. And then his love is so deep, you never get to a place that you've used up all of his love and his grace and his mercy. But then I want you to see he highly esteems his bride. That is so important today because there is a movement today, and it's been going on for several years, probably about the last 10 to 15 years. There's been a movement to denigrate, to minimize, to diminish the value of the church of Jesus Christ. There's been a movement. And what it says is church isn't that important. I love Jesus, but I don't care about his church. And there was a common thread on Twitter that I found, and it said this: I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Now, do you find anything wrong with that? If you love Jesus, if you're a child of God, you ought to find everything wrong with that. I love Jesus, but I hate the church. Something's wrong with that. You see, there's an anti-church brand of Christianity today that says, we'll just meet at our house, we'll meet at the riverbank, we'll meet wherever, it's not important. Church is kind of a has-been kind of thing is it's not relevant to my daily life. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You got to understand that church is the bride of Jesus Christ. And when we become the bride, though we're the bride separately, but really when we become the bride is when we gather in one group together. That is the bride of Jesus Christ. And Jesus loves this bride. Jesus is passionate, as I said, about this bride. Jesus has a love that is deep, but Jesus died for this bride. And you know what? We should never, ever, any of us, say anything bad about Jesus' bride. I don't know about you. I think I do. But I don't believe you'd put up with somebody talking about your bride. I mean, if somebody said something about my bride, that's fighting words. I'll just be honest with you. You say, well, you're a preacher. You can't fight. Bless God, I can. You ever read about Peter in the Bible? He cut a man's ear off. Let me tell you, if I'd been Peter, I'd done better. I'd cut the head off now. I mean, I wouldn't. Peter, that was a little slip of the hand or something there. No. I'm going to tell you, we don't put up with somebody talking about our spouse. And I don't put up with nobody talking about Jesus' bride either. And my sheep. I just won't stand for it. I've made people mad. I've broken off friendships. I've burnt bridges or whatever you want to call it because I will not tolerate somebody running down God's people, the bride of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. It's become so acceptable to bash the church. About 25 years ago, the first inkling of this came on the radar with the skit on Saturday Night Live, The Church Lady. Y'all remember that? And we've all laughed at The Church Lady. Dana, whatever his name is, played The Church Lady. And it could be funny, but you know what? It was a very subtle little attack that began. That's when the first volley was fired to try and bring down the church. Now, let me tell you something. If you are a Christian in America, you are the most intolerant, unacceptable person in the world. Do you know that? Everybody else we can support. I mean, we can support Muslims even though they want to kill people. Christians don't want to. We can support alternate lifestyles where men are marrying men and women are marrying women. We support killing babies in the womb. We support any kind of ungodliness you can imagine. It'll be supported out of Hollywood and many times out of Washington and Atlanta, Georgia. But I'm going to tell you, you become a Christian and you live for God. Let me tell you something. You'll find that you're in the crosshairs. You'll find that the least little thing they don't like, they'll blow it out of proportion. They'll hit you every way they can, and it's a daily attack, my friends. It's a daily attack. But I'm going to tell you something. I got good news. Jesus said, upon this rock, talking about himself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, my bride is built on solid ground. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you a question. I'm not going to keep you a long time today. But I want to ask you a question. Because all of that where you attack the church and you talk about... Listen, don't think that pastor don't hear when you attack the church. I hear. It might be through a person, but the Holy Ghost tells me things. You might not believe that. Ask some people. Just go through this crowd and ask some people, did the Holy Ghost ever tell Brother Tom something about you that nobody else knew? And then he brought it to your attention. Just ask a few people here. We could probably get 25, 30 real quick out of this small crowd here today. The Holy Ghost speaks to me, and I'm not bragging, but I'm just telling you, I know my Father's voice. And I hear him. And let me tell you something. Don't be a part of that crowd that'll bash the Church of Jesus Christ. Because if you are, you're on the losing side. You're putting yourself in opposition to God. Amen? Now, not that anybody's doing that now. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that's going on right now. But I'm telling you, on the outside, we're going to be attacked. We don't need to attack from the inside. Okay? That means also in the church, there needs to be unity. Can I get an amen? Amen. Needs to be unity. Just cause you can't always be the one in charge, you don't need to kick and buck and bite and spit. Just because it didn't get done the way you wanted it done, you can't kick, bite, buck, and spit. Let me tell you something. We've got to learn to love one another. And, you know, we got a bunch of folks out today, but 200, 250 people here a lot of Sundays, and over 300 that attend here from time to time. There's a lot of different personalities, okay? Believe me, I know that. Ask my wife. My phone rings all the time. And I tell you, I love it so much when y'all call me and it's something good. Please call the pastor once in a while and just say, God healed me of this, or I want to tell you about my grand youngin' made an A, or I mean, I caught a big old fish, Brother Tom, and I'm cooking you supper, come on, you know. Not mudfish now or something like that, Edsel. I don't want any of them suckers. I know they're good to eat, but I don't want to. I ate enough of them when I was growing up. I don't eat. I like other stuff now. But the point I'm trying to make is we got to stick together. We got to always stick together. And if that means sometimes I can't do it my way or have it my way, or sometimes I got to swallow real big, then we do. Because we're not going to. Let me tell you something. We will not ever get to a place that we fuss over stupid stuff here. We won't. I'll call you out. I'll get on your head. I'm telling you, I'll do whatever I got to do. We're not going to fuss over light bulbs and color of carpet and stupid stuff like that. I've seen that in churches. Anybody ever heard of stuff like that? Let me tell you, if we love the bride like Jesus wants us to, we're not going to argue over stupid stuff, okay? Amen? Now, I want to ask you a question. Because all that I've been telling you about attacking, bashing the church, that is not authentic Christianity. No. But I want to ask you a question. If you follow my post on Facebook, you already may know this. But one of the most tangible ways, everybody say tangible. I didn't say tangerine, okay? I didn't say vegetable. I said tangible. That's right. Tell it. Say it again. No, I want you to say it. Come on. Huh? Tangible. That's right. She'll say it now. Glory to God. Give her a big God bless you. Tangible. That means real. That means something you hear, smell, see, taste, feel. Tangible. Tangible. One of the most tangible ways that we can show our faithfulness to God is by being faithful to His church. Let me tell you something. That needs to be said again. One of the most tangible ways you and I can show our faithfulness to God is by being faithful to His bride, the church. Let me tell you something. I've seen this through the years. You'll see somebody get on fire for God. They'll come all broken, messed up first, and then you pray for them and they get straightened out. Or they need help and you help them, maybe tangibly with money. I've handed money out of them. I can think of people right now pulled a $100 bill out of my pocket that I needed for something else, but I knew they needed help and I'd give it to them and trust God to meet my need. That wasn't my tithe. My tithe was here. And yet so many times those people end up leaving and they turn their back on you and they end up hating you. And I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all, because one thing I do understand is something called loyalty. If God blesses me, Reagan blesses me, God used Reagan to bless me, I got an arrowhead over my fireplace that he gave me. It's a treasure. It's in a shadow box that he gave me. And let me tell you, I'll never forget Reagan for that. Not because it's a thing, but the love that went with it, because he dug it out and he gave me something precious to him. I'll never forget that. And many of you, I can say the same thing about y'all. Let me tell you something. We need to learn something called loyalty today. Let me tell you, if you've gotten saved here, or if you've gotten blessed here, or if you've been ministered to here, or if God has answered a prayer, if God's given you a breakthrough, if you were at a time when you were low and nothing looked like it was going to work, and you came here and people prayed for you, or they were in the hospital with you, or they actually gave you money, you need to remember that and be faithful here. You need to be faithful here. And summer's coming, so there's a test coming. The test is following. Now, I'm not saying don't go on vacation, but bless God, you ain't going on vacation every Sunday. It's like some people act like they work every Sunday. They don't work every Sunday. A lot of these people act like they work every Sunday, laying in the bed the Sundays they off. Well, it's my only day to sleep. No, it isn't. Sleep some other time. Jesus comes first. Do you want Him to bless you and bless your home? And may I ask you the question, could it be? And I believe it is. That there is a correlation between how faithful I am to Jesus' bride, the church, and how faithful He is to me and to answer my prayers and to bless me. Could it be that in the same degree that I bless the bride what Jesus loves, He blesses what I love? Now I'm telling you, you're not going to hear that on TBN this afternoon, okay? You're not going to hear that. And you're not going to hear that at a lot of mainline churches today. You're not going to hear that because they say, we'll make somebody mad, they won't come back. Let me tell you something. I want to worship with those that are serious. And I don't come for a paycheck because I can tell you something. God took care of me long before I was ever a preacher. In fact, I had more before I was a preacher, okay? A lot more. It's not about that. I want to do you some good. I feel this deep down. And you say, are you mad? No. I'm mad at the devil. I'm not mad at God's people. I love God's people. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you want to see God's blessings unleashed on your life, you love what He loves. What's He love? Ephesians 4, verse 25, I believe. It's or 35. It says, husbands, listen to this. Me and you off the hook for a little bit today. It's not Father's Day. Husbands, love your what? Wives. As Christ loves the church and gave Himself for it. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loves the church and gave Himself for it. Let me tell you something. There ought to not be anything too hard, too big, that the bride calls on me to do. You know, the bride calls on me to come and bless and minister to the church. We shouldn't say, well, let me say, I've had people, they try and figure out how much money they can make off the church. Let me tell you, you ought to come here and do whatever needs to do and not ask a penny. I used to wash my preacher's car. I would plow his garden and let me tell you, he didn't have any good kind of plow. He had one of those with the tines on the back or the front, whichever the one that jumps and bucks. I would sweep the church parking lot, and my church where I grew up at in Statesboro, it seats about 700 people. The parking lot is as big as all this property. I would take the blower and blow off the parking lot. I polished the rails at the church. You say, you were a fool. Yeah, I am, for Jesus' sake. But I'm going to tell you, He's blessed this old boy. He's blessed this old boy. Time and time and time again. And I'm going to tell you, I'm asking the question, but it's already answered. Could it be that to the degree I am faithful to Jesus' bride and love and bless His bride, God will bless me and my family? I say, yes, there is a direct correlation. Matthew 6:33, and I'm fixing to close. Come on, musicians. Listen, don't get up yet because y'all are distracted. Stay put, Gina. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me tell you something. There is no limit to what God will do to bless you. There is no limit to what God will do and go to heal you, to pour out blessing, to prosper you, to give you a good family, to let you have peace of mind, and to use you in ways you never imagined if you will but put him first and love what he loves. And I'm going to tell you, we ought to love what God loves. Amen? And we ought to hate what he hates. Amen? You received the word today? It was a hard word. Do you still receive it? Let's give God the praise. Give him the glory. Come on, musicians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Come on, pastors. Perfect song. Let's all close our eyes, bow our heads. I love this part of the service, the altar time. This is when we can really just get real with God. And we can say, Lord, I'm either going to... This is the time where we say, either, Lord, yes, amen to what the pastor said, I'm going to do it. Or we stiffen our neck. And we try and block out and quench the spirit. And we say, no, I'm not going to do it. I hope you'll do what he says. Love what he loves. Bless what he blesses. Say, Lord, use me to bless your bride, the church. I give you my time, my talents, and my treasure. Because all I am, and all I have, and all I ever shall be, is yours. Now with every head bowed still and every eye closed. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's blessings coming your way, folks, as you do this. But every head bowed and every eye closed, I can't close a service without giving you the opportunity to say yes to the Lord. I believe there were four last Sunday. And today you can make sure things are right between you and the Lord. Today I'm calling on you to, in just a moment, raise your hand if you'd like to say yes to Jesus Christ. And you'd like for him to be your Savior and Lord. Here we go. If you're not sure, you can be sure now. And you can have that assurance today. All you got to do is lift your hand and then we're going to pray a prayer. I won't call you out or embarrass you. But let's raise our hand if we want to know that we're going to heaven. If we're not sure right now. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, thank you. Anyone else? That's 2. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Every head bowed and every eye closed. This sacred moment. Let's pray this prayer out loud, everybody. Say these words after me. Lord Jesus, today I give you my life and I receive your free gift of eternal life. I ask you, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Wash me. Make me whole. And from this day forward, I'm yours. I thank you. You died for me on the cross. And you rose the third day. And you're coming again soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Now with every head still bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask one.